You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Hey, Preppers and Patriots. Hope you're doing well and doing what you can to stay safe. I've been staying busy through the lockdown. I've got the garden started, recently put in some more fruit trees, and of course I've been hammering away at the keyboard to get out the next installment of The Beginning of Sorrows. As promised, I'm going to address some emails I've received since the beginning of the COVID crisis about what to expect on the economic level. To start, I'm going to answer a letter I got from a reader. As a disclaimer, I'm not offering financial advice, but simply stating what I would do in a given situation. Ray writes, "What's your opinion on continuing to contribute to a 401k? I'm not cashing out, but I'm not sure it makes sense to keep adding. I have a really good company match, and some other prepper-minded people are saying now is the time to buy. But I'm considering stopping or reducing my contribution and buying silver instead." I wrote back to him, "If I were in your shoes, I'd probably contribute up to the match and not a penny more. You're essentially losing part of your paycheck if you don't participate, but I'd park everything in the lowest risk vehicle available through my 401k program. With a one-to-one employer match, the market has to lose 50% of its value before you lose the first dime." I'm going to expound a little bit on that and cover concerns from several other readers and podcast listeners. First off, the Fed has basically said they'll do whatever is necessary to prop up the markets. With QE Infinity, they could essentially purchase every available share of stock if they so choose. The total value of all 30 companies listed on the Dow Jones Index comes to around $8 trillion. Since March, the government has pledged far beyond $6.5 trillion. Congress has passed $2.5 trillion in bailouts, plus the Fed was at $4 trillion in COVID relief programs prior to Powell announcing on March 23rd that they'd do whatever was necessary, basically saying that they would print an unlimited amount of money to keep the economy moving at full steam ahead right over the edge of the cliff. Through open market activities, the Fed is restricted to purchasing treasuries and certain other debt instruments to keep the party going. They're not allowed to buy stocks and bonds of publicly traded companies. Of course, they see that rule as more of a suggestion than a law. They've set up what the government likes to call a special purpose vehicle, which allows them to shuffle money to a non-Federal Reserve entity, which allows them to purchase high-yield ETFs, aka junk bonds. If the Fed was a drug dealer, we'd call that special purpose vehicle a shell corporation, and people would go to prison for money laundering. And even though the Fed is not a government entity, they do enjoy all the special privileges of being a member of the ruling class, and they're entitled to all the double standard benefits that the government receives. So, the Fed is currently purchasing ETFs. That's only steps away from actually buying stocks. And as I've already stated, they could buy every share of stock on the Dow Jones Index, and it would still be in the ballpark of what they've already committed in terms of monetary creation for COVID relief. This is why all of my fiction works either focus directly on the economy or at least brush over the government's vain attempts to breathe life into the corpse which was once the U.S. dollar. If you think the scenarios in my books are hyperbole, they're not. If anything, they fail to portray the level of ignorance and desperation of government officials and central bankers. It's impossible to envision the recklessness, stupidity, and suicidal moves these people make when faced with anything other than perfect economic conditions. Now, back to the $6.5 trillion plus in bailout money. All that free cash is going to need a home. A large portion of that money is eventually going to end up in the market. Then we'll probably see astronomical levels in market indexes, never before imagined. until it all collapses into a heap of ash and rubble, revealing the U.S. dollar as the disaster it really is. So be prepared for the crack-up boom. Does that mean you should attempt to ride the wave? If you do, you better have a strong stomach and impeccable timing. Anything less, and you could lose it all. When the crack-up boom comes, we're going to see the kinds of hyperinflation that so many other countries have faced. Venezuela, Russia, Argentina, Zimbabwe, and the Weimar Republic all saw rising inflation, which left working-class people unable to purchase basic supplies necessary for survival. The Downfall of Money by Frederick Taylor is an in-depth look at hyperinflation in the Weimar Republic. It makes a great nonfiction primer for what's coming to America. During that period, the annual rates of inflation for the Weimar Republic were as follows. They were 4% in June of 1922. That's not so bad. Then it rose to 22% in September of the same year. By December of 1922, it was 68%. And the next year, 285% in March of 1923. It rose to 765% in June of 1923. By September of 1923, the inflation rate was 1.5 million percent. And then by December of 1923, the annual inflation rate for the mark was 152 trillion percent. Those numbers are just almost impossible to grasp, especially when they're stated in percentage terms. So let's look at that in the gold price. In January of 1919, Weimar Republic, it took 170 marks to purchase an ounce of gold. By November of 1923, so 4 years later, it took 87 trillion marks to purchase 1 ounce of gold, up from 170 marks. So, but even so, don't think of it in terms of gold. Think about that same rate of increase applied to your groceries. If $170 worth of groceries would probably fill up a cart now at a premium grocery store, probably even at Walmart. $170 will fill up a cart in Walmart. So let's apply our current economic environment, and let's say we went through the same rate of increase over the next 4 years that the Weimar Republic went through in that four-year period from 1919 to 1923. That means it would cost $87 trillion to fill up that same cart of groceries at Walmart that you could fill up right now for $170. Of course, under that scenario, everybody would be trillionaires thanks to constant money printing by the Fed. Of course, that's assuming that we can get the rest of the world to keep accepting the dollar in the first place. But when they don't, it all comes crashing down and no one will sell anything for dollars. Within weeks of the coronavirus outbreak, we saw pictures of food banks all over America with cars stretched out for miles waiting for handouts. This shows the state of preparedness in the U.S. Many of these cars were new. Several were BMWs, Mercedes, and other luxury models. This is indicative of a nation full of people living beyond their means. They didn't have enough savings in the bank to make it even 1 month without assistance. The bailouts are helping these people in the short run, but only because of the false confidence still placed in the U.S. dollar. Once the rest of the world refuses to take our funny money as payment for goods and services, bailouts will come to an abrupt end. Whatever the expiration date on the dollar was prior to the COVID crisis, it's now much closer. The people who live hand to mouth have been taught that the government will take care of them no matter what. So most will change none of their current budgeting habits. When the dollar collapses, these same people will have nothing in their pantry, nothing in the refrigerator, and the Fed won't be able to bail them out. Then they'll get desperate. Think about what you would do if your child was crying, begging you for food, and you had none. And that's considering you're a nice person. Now, think about when what someone not quite as civilized as yourself might do if their kids were starving to death. My vision of the future isn't a very rosy picture. Trust me. Even so, it's euphoric compared to what reality has in store for us. Next, let's talk about unemployment. The official number right now stands at 14.7%. Of course, many people still haven't been able to file due to overwhelmed state systems, which are struggling to catch up. The president of the Minneapolis Fed, Neel Kashkari, said the actual unemployment number is closer to 24%. To put those numbers into historical perspective, at the height of the 2008 crisis, unemployment was at 10%. In the Great Depression, it was 25%. Of course, if an official at the Fed is claiming unemployment at 24%, we know it's actually much worse. John Williams at Shadow Stats has the U3 unemployment number at 35.4%. The CBO expects the official unemployment rate to stay above 10% for the next 2 years. We're in for a long, painful period. So what can you do to prepare? Keep doing what you're doing. Invest in self-sufficiency. Pay down debt. Build a cash reserve of 9 to 12 months worth of total expenses. Build up your pantry, all the stuff I talk about in the 7-step survival plan. If you're considering investing in gold and silver to hedge against the coming inflation, make sure all your other bases are covered first. I think we're in for a prolonged period of erratic instability. We could see periods of deep deflation as people scramble for cash to survive the immediate future before hyperinflation ultimately takes hold and collapses our economy. During that initial phase of deflation, we could see prices of hard assets like gold and real estate take a beating. But in the end, they'll be some of the only safe havens for protecting wealth long term. On the constitutional front, freedom is hardly worth talking about anymore. We've seen far more egregious abuses of power as a result of COVID-19 than we ever saw from 9/11. In our modern age, we've seen a father arrested for playing ball with his daughter in New York, a newlywed couple who spent their honeymoon in jail because they had a home wedding, a beautician thrown in prison for cutting hair, all the while marijuana dispensaries and abortion clinics remained open as essential businesses. Only in America do murderers and drug dealers get classified as essential workers while people go to jail for cutting hair, getting married, or playing ball with their child in the park. I often hear this fantasy that people believe that the police and military are going to draw a line in the sand, and that they'll refuse to take unconstitutional orders. No doubt, many will. And I applaud the work of Oath Keepers, which reminds soldiers and law enforcement officers of their oath to uphold the Constitution. I think many men and women in those professions who are confronted with what that means will determine ahead of time not to go along with unjust and unlawful orders. However, I fear they will be in the minority. During the COVID crisis, Andrew Cuomo issued an executive order for the New York National Guard to seize ventilators and protective gear from private hospitals, a blatant infraction against the Fourth Amendment. But I heard of no mass refusals by the National Guard to carry out this terrible crime. In Dare County, North Carolina, the Sheriff's Department banned non-resident homeowners from accessing their own houses. The very people who pay these deputies' salaries through property taxes were denied being able to go to their own homes. And once again, I heard nothing about any major protests by the deputies in that department. Neither did I hear about any law enforcement officers in Texas who refused to arrest Shelley Luther for cutting hair. I know I have a lot of readers and listeners who are in law enforcement, and I know it's a tough line to toe, and I appreciate your service. But if you're not already involved with Oath Keepers, I'd encourage you to take the time today to look into getting involved. If you're already a member of Oath Keepers, start having some conversations with your coworkers in your department. Try to get them to take a look at Oath Keepers as well. I believe we're getting perilously close to the end of the American experiment, and this country won't survive in its intended form without your support. Until next month, God bless and happy prepping.